Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
It's show night on Broadway, and with the lead of the play mysteriously absent, Clayface has taken his spot in the show without anyone noticing. At intermission, Clayface is taking a break outside the actor's door in an alley when he hears a commotion.
Someone stolen the box office!
He hears as a large man with a duffel bag races away from the scene. As always, a patron of the arts, Clayface gives chase, wanting to keep the theater alive. Catching up to the robber, Clayface demands he turn around. It is then that he discovers that Sandman is the robber, and he turns around to face him without turning around at all. In the battle of shapeshifter versus shapeshifter, who will even be able to tell who the victor is once the dust settles? It's Flint versus Basil. It's Quarryman versus Claything. It's Sandman versus Clayface. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gabzy, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only, yeah, I said it, it's Ray Stakanis.
Whoa.
Today's matchup, ladies and gentlemen, is another battle that has been on the books for the Who Would Win show for years and is finally seeing the light of day. In one corner, you have the Sandman from Marvel Comics, a supervillain who can transform his body into a sand-like substance, often clashing with Spider-Man, and in the other corner, you have Clayface, a Batman villain and former actor who turned into a shape-shifting clay-like creature. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this is another battle that has been discussed and dissected for decades, but somehow has never come to a decisive conclusion or had a winner declared, until today, that is. Ray, what are your thoughts in today's matchup?
I know you're going to look at this on the outside and go, isn't this pretty much the definition of a Showdown September matchup? These are two very similar characters. It's not a thing that we often would do on this show outside of September. But the concern is that neither of these characters at this moment in time is popular enough to carry a big-time Showdown September matchup. So what the heck? We had the idea to just go ahead and do it. We're doing it today. Welcome to April, everybody. It's the second quarter of the year. Maybe the first quarter of the year, depending on where you work. Things happen.
You know, it's funny because maybe there's some similarity in powers, but the characters themselves, the backstories, their personalities couldn't be more different. And again, you know, you look at this, this is really not a straightforward matchup like I think a lot of people are going to think it is. They got really good backstories. You know, they've both been around for well over 50 years. Clayface, I think, has been around since 1940 at least. So there's a lot of history to this. Look, when it comes to picking the right judge for this kind of battle, you need someone who has the ability to understand nuance, to change the paradigm, and to do other things using big words that would take too long to explain to Ray. Let's see if we have that judge for today's battle. So making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, you know him from the Kevin Hart LOL Network. It's comedian extraordinaire. You guessed it. It's Kevin Israel. Kevin, welcome back to Who Would Win.
That's Kevin Change the Paradigm Israel. Thank you very much.
I mean, is that like Scottish? That's a very long middle name.
That is. It's Highlands. Yes.
Very cool.
Thank you for having me back, guys. Excited to be here. Excited to be witness to the Battle of the Dirty Boys. I'm thrilled for this one.
That's great. And you'll also see the battle between Clayface and Sandman. Now, listen, you know, before we get into this battle, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Like you said, I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm performing all over the tri-state area. But more importantly, in my other life, I am currently working with the Battleship New Jersey, which I'm representing on my hat. If you happen to live in the tri-state area, the largest, fastest, most decorated battleship just went into dry dock in Philadelphia. And if you'd like to go visit a battleship actually in dry dock where you can walk under it. You can go to battleshipnewjersey.org to get tickets. It's an amazing thing to see. And if you're a history buff or a military buff, it's amazing. And it's just something I'm really excited to be working with.
Very cool. You're a military buff, you know, a history buff. You are buff. I'm wondering if you're buff enough to understand, like, really how to kind of take this battle. Because, you know, I don't think you've been on the show where you've had insanely similar characters like this.
I, you know what? I was surprised that this was the showdown, because it's always two completely non sequitur type characters where they just from left field. And I'm excited to see a matchup of similar powers.
You know, it is a non sequitur type of matchup. If you could use, I just got a note from the production team, if you could use smaller words for Ray and also speak slower, that would be great.
I'm lost right now, guys.
He means they're very similar, Ray, if you kind of like just do the math. Okay, listen, this is going to be insane. I know Ray's been on a tear lately, but I'm very confident in what I'm bringing to the table for Clayface. With all that being said, let's get this party started. Ray, please do the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the thug who takes his opponents off to Never Never Land, Sandman. And representing DC Comics, the actor who could choose to look like anyone, but always chooses wrinkly grimace for some reason, Clayface.
He is a wrinkly grimace.
He's a wrinkly grimace. I was saddened to make that realization.
You know, Clayface would be amazing for McDonald's. Horrible joke to insert here, which I will not. All right, now listen, well done, Ray.
Great sponsor of this show, McDonald's. Food, folks, and fun. Sign me up. I'm loving it.
Instead of, what is it? Grimace is a giant taste bud. And Clayface is just a bunch of mud. There's an association there. All right, now look, before we go any further. I'm loving it. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for the Sandman.
Sandman is a villain for Marvel Comics who can shapeshift his body as formations of sand. He was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and first appeared in The Amazing Spider-Man number 4 back in 1963, starting off as a Spider-Man villain before completing a redemption arc that saw him turn into more of an anti-hero, only to then have all that be taken away and having him turned evil once again, Sandman has been in the mix for a very long time. Sandman can alter his body with the sand he's made of, allowing him to form weapons with his arms, become very big or very small, or even disappear into the wind completely, based upon his goals in the moment. Fun fact, all this reading into Sandman got me thinking, what is the deal with this guy exactly? Well, I was shocked to find this out. It turns out that Sandman isn't just a guy who can morph into sand, right? That's what you would think he is. No, Sandman is actually a singular grain of sand, a brain sand, if you will, that communicates and shapes all the other sand around him. So when it gets down to brass tacks, Sandman is but a speck of dust in the wind. Kind of poetic, honestly. And that is Sandman.
That is poetic. Almost as poetic as Clayface. Speaking of which, here are the details for Clayface. The name Clayface has been assumed by several characters within the DC Comics lore, but the most recognized incarnation is Basil Carlo, the original Clayface. Created by Bill Finger and Bob Kane, Basil Carlo made his first appearance in Detective Comics number 40 back in 1940 itself. This will also be the version I'm repping today's battle, the comic book version, which is currently also Basil Carlo in the DC Universe. Initially, Carlo was a disgruntled actor who turned to villainy after learning that a classic film in which he starred was to be remade without him. If I had a dollar for every time a modern-day actor turned ability because of a... Anyway, you see where I'm going with this. Donning the mask of the movie's villain, Clayface, he embarked on a spree of terror and murder, targeting the cast and crew of the new production. Over time, the character evolved from a mere masked man into a being with a supernatural ability to transform his clay-like body into any form, blending horror with the crime drama of Gotham City. Despite his villainous deeds, Clayface Blaze is portrayed as a complex character, sometimes straddling the line between villain and anti-hero, particularly in narratives where he seeks redemption or battles against his own monstrous nature. Speaking of poetic. And here's an interesting fact about Clayface. Did you know that Clayface was a big part of why I became such a huge fanatic of the Batman animated series? It's true. Sure, I was always a big Batman fan, but it wasn't until I saw my very first episode of the Batman animated series, which was part two of Feet of Clay, where Batman had to defeat Clayface using some insane psychological warfare, where I truly understood the magnificence of the Kevin Conroy voice Batman. During that episode, I got to see firsthand how badass Clayface was also, but more importantly, how clearly this iteration of Batman was the best portrayal of Batman ever made. That's right. It's a fun fact about Clayface. It's all about Batman, really. Yeah, I'm saying all of this. So when you see me go on a rant about why no version of Batman can compare to the 90s Kevin Conroy version, which I do all the time, whether it's online, in line at the grocery store with a group of strangers, or my kids' next PTA meeting, you all have that particular episode of the animated series featuring Clayface to thank for that. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Kevin, did you know that the Batman from the animated series in the 90s is the best version of Batman of all time?
I did know that, actually, because I agree 100%.
That's what I'm talking about. By the way, next question. Do you have any questions before we get started?
I do not. I just want to get to this brawl.
Let's do it. All right, Ray, it is a brawl indeed. Let's start this off right. Hit us with your point number one.
It's crazy to make those claims when we all know that the Adam West version of Batman still exists in this universe. So I give animated a big number two. That's all I'm going to say right there. Anyway, point number one for Sandman. Let's talk about his crazy levels of strength, because he's a very, very hard hitting guy. He punched a character named Nova. We should get him on the show. Nova's a good character. Well, he knocked Nova so hard into New York City that he knocked him from the land into the water. He knocked him into the New York Harbor. Is there such a thing as New York Harbor? Well, he knocked him into it all the way across the city. And when Sandman hits you, you go flying. He's a one-punch battlefield remover, as far as I was able to see from my research here. He hits a wall, and then it becomes a giant hole where the wall once was. He doesn't just like to do this to walls, though. He likes to do this to floors as well. He is a real destroy the environment around him kind of a guy. We'll talk in my later points why that doesn't really affect him, as it tends to affect his opponents in battle, right? He's got them shape-shifting ability. He once smashed his way through the wall of an airship. He was on an airship that was flying around and just said, "I don't want to be in here anymore." Knocks a hole. You ever try to punch a hole in the side of an airplane? That's not even reinforced. That's just a regular airplane. I have. Air marshals hate it when you do that. The point I'm trying to make is Sandman pulled it off. Sandman walked up to a tank, and he was able to rip off the top of a tank like it was a tuna can. Like he just was making himself a nice tuna fish sandwich. And he's been able to stun very powerful characters just by punching them, just by hitting them with one of his weird appendages we'll get into later. Characters he's stunned with one shot are known as The Thing and The Hulk. If you can punch The Hulk and stun him even for a moment, you are doing something strong. He also does a cool thing. He'll rip off a part of his own body and throw it. Like Mariano Rivera blowing the World Series. He just picks it up and he launches it, and he breaks concrete if he hits you with it. I've never thrown something and had it break concrete before, much less a part of myself. Now, he's also taken these tanks and not just ripped the top off of them. He's picked them up and thrown them at his enemies as well. In fact, one time he got inside a tank and then ripped the tank open by just expanding his own body. This is the equivalent of flexing your cast off like The Rock did in a Fast and Furious movie. He once is fast too, by the way. He once caught Spider-Man while he was swinging around above his head. Spider-Man, super heroically fast. He just reached up and pulled him out of the air. Insane. He can also grow very large or very small, which affects his strength, much like Ant-Man becoming Giant-Man can. The bigger you are, the stronger you are. And he's hard to keep down durability-wise because he can just reform quickly. In fact, much like Harry Houdini, who could tense up when you punched him in the stomach, except for that one time, and then he could take any punch from any person in the stomach, well, Sandman can use his sand particles and harden a spot in his body that's about to get hit and prepare for an attack and essentially blunt that attack, because you're essentially punching a very, very thick brick wall. That also makes him durable to hitting, to shooting, and explosions that happen around him. Quite frankly, he's a huge hitter, and he can take a huge hit as well, unless Clayface has some extra dirty tricks Sandman is bringing this down on physicality alone, and that's my point number one.
Look, here's the cool thing about Sandman. I think depending on who is writing him and what kind of creativity he brings to the character, there's a lot this character can do offensively and defensively. But here's the deal. I got to push back on a few things. First of all, in terms of super strength, he's listed as class 85. Now, class 100 is the Hulk and Thor. Class 85 is still really, really great. I'm going to have to say that's a push between the two characters because they're both insanely strong when they need to be. Look, I love the fact that he punches holes into walls. So you're just saying that he has James Gavsey and Kevin Israel level of strength. That's very impressive. But, you know, we've seen that before. He's stunned characters when he hit them. That's awesome. When you stun a character, that means they haven't even fallen down. They're just like, ow. And they take a second to be like, well, that sucked. If you can knock down a heavy hitter like, I don't know, Clayface has, and knock them down hard and keep them down, that is a completely different level of punching power, which is something Clayface has more than Sandman. Throwing a part of his body, you know, where it hits and then sticks to an opponent, Clayface can do the exact same thing. Look, there's a lot in common these characters have in terms of strength and everything you're talking about, Ray, that you just said Sandman can do. Clayface can do all of that except just way better. But with that being said, let me get to my point number one. And for my point number one, let's talk about Clayface's powers. I know, Ray, you're going to get into that for Sandman. Let's just dive into this for Clayface. Now, of course, he's got that malleable clay-like body. It's made of this thick mud-like material, which gives him some very cool powers, such as size alteration. Now, Clayface can change his size to fill any need he has at the moment. He's expanded large enough to engulf rooms, blow up buildings, because he just blows them up, kind of flexes his muscles, like Ray said, and thin enough to slip into sewers. This is someone who can make himself paper thin as well. There's no place that's going to keep him out. There's no size he can't go to. He's got that power of elasticity. It's kind of very similar to what Plastic Man can do. Probably not as great as Plastic Man, but still, it's something very, very impressive. He can stretch to any length he wants to, and really, you know, I'm sure there's limits, but we really haven't seen that in the comic books yet. He's got something called density control. He can make his body as hard as rock in order to smash through carved doors. He can maintain a liquid form to suffocate opponents. He can be as fluid or as dense as he needs to be for whatever situation he's facing, is what I'm trying to say. He can also alter parts of his body so that part of him are super dense while other parts are literally fluid-like, making him insanely hard to like hurt, destroy, or do anything to him. Of course, he's got superhuman strength. Look, you know, tossing a police car at an opponent who's flying through the air, because there's a lot of flyers in DC Comics. So again, just picking up a police car, and throwing it at them in air, that is insane strength. Again, I think they're kind of around the same strength. They can make themselves as strong as they need to be, although I do give the edge to Clayface in that. Fun fact, he became strong enough to match Supergirl and Wonder Woman in one-on-one fights, which is way stronger than the Sandman at his upper limits of strength, especially the way Ray's just describe it. Remember, Wonder Woman's one of the most powerful beings in DC Comics, as is Supergirl. That's saying something. He's got that superhuman durability. Look, anything that Sandman can do, Clayface can do as well in terms of durability. He can make himself so incredibly dense and hard to break, whatever. Superman can hit him. I'm sure if Superman just started wailing on him, it's going to do some damage in terms of durability. But again, he can make himself very durable. He's surviving a lot. He's also got a healing factor comparable to Wolverine's and Deadpool's. Now, I'm not just talking that he can rearrange his body in case part of it gets blown up or cut off. I'm saying that he can regrow his body and heal it pretty much instantly. He's also got the power of reformation. He can maintain mental control of each individual particle of his body that, you know, his body is composed of. He can reform his scattered grains of clay, you know, wherever it's been scattered to, and have them come back together. The only issue is that if it's like tons of distance between all of it, it just takes a while for it to all come back, but it will all come back and reform. And the closer they are, the quicker he forms. He's got these clay blasts where he just shoots almost like, it looks like power blasts, but it's just blasts of clay at people, and he can like shoot them as balls, projectiles. He can make them sharp as well. He can shoot out parts of his body the same way Cyclops can shoot out those optic beams. It's really, really cool. He's got the power of conversion. Now, this is really cool. He can convert dirt, mud, sand around him into parts of his body in case he misses parts or in case he wants to use it to enhance his own body. Sandman can't absorb Clayface, but Clayface can absorb the Sandman. More on that later. He can travel up and down any surface. The way Scooby-Doo uses a jackhammer to go up a wall and then a ceiling and stay there, Clayface can do the exact same thing. And finally, Clayface has super speed. This is crazy. When he was fighting Batman one time, he took on the form of Flash. And as the Flash, he started running at super speed. Now, is he as fast as the Flash? Not even going to say it. But Batman identified that as, in fact, super speed. It's probably like at least faster than Spider-Man. And because how am I saying that? Because if anyone can identify super speed in the DC universe, it's Batman. Put all that together, and it's a very bad day for Sandman. That's my point number one.
Did you hear the Freudian slip? He just said it's a bad day for Clayface. I mean Sandman, because James Gavsey at his heart knows this battle has already been lost. I love it when James's argument boils down to, yeah, you said a lot of things, but my character does that slightly better. It's just classic Gavsey. No citation necessary. He just says it, and you have to believe it. It's a little bit like that Suicide Squad movie. He does everything you do, just better. It was a lie then, it's a lie now, James Gavsey. Did you say that Clayface could absorb sand particles? That's bad news for Clayface if he even tries that move, because one of the tried and true ways that Clayface has been defeated in comics is somebody gets to his insidey places and sets off an explosion. And let me tell you, if you try to absorb Sandman, my point number two will show you why that is a bad idea.
I love it. You know what? It's funny when we get into this. The more animated Ray is and the more he's into it, the more that ups my game. So bring it on. I love this competition. But let's go to the judge. Kevin Israel, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
I'm just titillated by all these filthy rock hard men.
About Clayface and Sandman?
You know, you guys are such pros at this that bringing together two characters of such similar powers, I don't know. You guys are going to really have to pull out some arguments, because I don't see how this doesn't end up in a draw.
Ooh, we've never had a draw before on the Who Would Win show. Is that what's about to happen? Stay tuned. Let's find out. We'll be back for point number two. And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Sandman. Let's talk about his transformative abilities. At the end of the day, he is a shapeshifter, and he can move around his body in a better way than what James just described for Clayface. Source, just trust me, bro. He can simply adjust his body and knock people over. He often is just fighting Spider-Man, and then he just decides he's shaped differently, and Spider-Man doesn't have an answer for that type of surprise attack. Mixing that surprise attacking ability with the power that he brings means that just turning his body slightly can knock superpowered characters like Spider-Man over. He can turn his arms into hammers and spikes and cinder blocks at the end of long elongated arms. And he can essentially hit you with something real hard and real sharp, or really hammer-licious. He's also used his two cinder block arms to crush his opponent between them. And he just takes his two arms, like I think Beetlejuice did at one point, with the two hammers, but he turns them sideways and he slams you in between and you get crushed to pieces inside of that. He can also grow extra body parts to fight you where necessary. I don't care what kind of combat ability you've trained him. If a guy can suddenly in the moment grow seven extra arms and fists out of his torso, like the T-1000, and at the end of the day, the T-1000 Terminator is the best reference to what Sandman can do than anything else that I have found. And you would argue yourself, Clayface, great actor, tough body, tough rock hide. Could he take out a T-1000? No. Could he take out Sandman? No, because they're essentially attacking the same way. And again, he's got extra fists to punch you from wherever he wants to, and he does not fight traditionally. He doesn't like put you in a triangle chokehold and take you down like James would argue can be done in these battles with superpowered characters, despite no evidence that it's ever actually worked. He doesn't fight traditionally. He uses his shape-shifting abilities in combat. For example, he once turned his entire lower body into a giant steamroller with a man's body on top of it to fight the Hulk, and he ran the Hulk over, squishing him flat. He once turned his body into a cylinder and did the same thing to Spider-Man as well. So he likes to think outside the box and fight in an irregular fighting style that Clayface is used to fighting Batman and Bat Family. He's used to how these people go. He's not used to somebody turning it into low-level Toon Force, I'll go ahead and say it, and rolling up over the top of him. In fact, if you try to throw your little clay pieces at Sandman, he can throw up sand shields, which are powerful enough to block bullets. He once covered a shotgun barrel with just his hand, you know, like Bugs Bunny, and he used his sand power to jam that shotgun. He blew up the shotgun, taking out the person who was fighting with. James rolls his eyes at Toon Force, but what is that if not a Bugs Bunny Toon Force ability? And also, of course, he could mimic people just like Clayface can do, and he can pretend to be other people. He has a stretching ability like Reed Richards' Mr. Fantastic, where he can stretch out his limbs and hit you from a distance where you don't necessarily see that coming. Again, element of surprise is how he's getting a lot of these shots off. He's been able to grow holes to avoid hits from bullets, rockets, fists, whatever he wants to. Remember the T-1000, when he tries to punch the T-1000, the T-1000 like absorbs the arm and then is able to reshape himself, so now he's got it in like a hammer lock. That's the stuff that Sandman can also do. And why I said it was important that I would talk about if Sandman was starting to get absorbed by Clayface, an explosion inside Clayface's body wrecks him, puts him down for the count. Well, against a character named Red Hulk, Sandman created a self-explosion where he blew himself up in an explosion of sand. And if he got himself inside Clayface's body and was able to do this devastating self-explosion attack that he did to Red Hulk, Clayface is down for the count, and that's my point number two.
All interesting stuff that I have to push back on. By the way, it's going to be real fun to see what Ray says that Clay, you know, what Sandman's going to do against Clayface when Clayface uses secret weapon. That's Sandman's ultimate weakness. But here's the deal. You know, Sandman's turning his fists and arms into cinder blocks, axes, sharp objects. Yeah, Clayface can do all of that as well. And he's really great at it as well. Grow extra body parts. Yeah, how many times has Clayface had like eight arms going at any variation of different superhero or supervillain for that matter? You know, you talk about the T-1000. I do see Sandman having a lot in common with the T-1000. Clayface, if you want to use the T-1000, is kind of like T-1000. If the T-1000 had insane fighting, training with its powers. Yeah, that I would say was the difference. More on that later. Shape-shifting, all that kind of good stuff. Here's the thing. Clayface, sure, he's fought the Bat Family. He's fought alongside the Bat Family, too. And he's been fighting Superman, Supergirl, Wonder Woman, and insane heavy hitters from the DC Universe. And not just doing well, but he's actually got some wins and all that kind of good stuff over them as well. Let me get to my point number two. Because for my point number two, let's just talk about some other cool powers, abilities, and tactics that Clayface has. Now, of course, he's a shapeshifter. Of course, he can change his, you know, shape into, you know, anything he wants, an axe, super sharp sword, a hammer, anything you can think of, he's done it, and he's done it millions of times. He can also transform his part of his body into whatever creature he wants or object he wants. This is just something he's good. And what's even more impressive about this, though, he's not just a shapeshifter, he's also a master of disguise. This is something that's very different than Sandman. He can copy someone's mannerisms and voice so well, he can fool pretty much anyone. For example, he turned into Superman and completely fooled Wonder Woman, thinking that he was talking to Superman. He turned into the Red Hood, aka Jason Todd, the former Robin who was killed by the Joker, and even fooled Batman for quite some time with this disguise. Look, if you can fool Batman for a long time, you know you're doing it well. And this is because Clayface is an incredible actor, as in the highest form of actor. Now, why is this important to fight, you may ask? Well, you have to factor into this that Clayface is also highly intelligent. He's great at manipulating people using psychology. In this fight, these two will be talking to each other. And while all this is happening, Clayface will be figuring out Sandman, gathering intel on how Sandman's powers work and how to defeat him. He's done it before, and now he can do it even better thanks to some really great training he's got. More on that later. Here's something that people may not know about Clayface. He's got power replication. Clayface can mimic someone's body right down to their DNA. This is weird. He can copy abilities. Again, with the Flash, he had certain level of super speed. Now, he does this when he comes into contact with them or absorbs them. Again, this is something he can do to Sandman, but Sandman cannot do this to Clayface. If Sandman does have any additional powers that Clayface doesn't have, the moment they touch, Clayface is like, thanks, I'll take that. And he'll be able to take all the powers with none of the weaknesses. He's also got a corrosive touch. Aside from mimicking someone, Clayface's touch can actually kill people. When he wants to, he can make his touch so corrosive, it can burn and destroy almost anything it touches. And here's something that's cool. Clayface can make clones of himself, and he can make these clones take any appearance he wants, and that he can make these clones have sentience. In other words, almost like this weird Clayface AI, where they're going to work on their own, be sentient, and help Clayface. He can make clones with different powers to an extent, help him with this fight. It's not outside interference, almost like summoning, if you will. This is something that's going to give him an extra, you know, advantage in this battle. Fun fact, unlike Sandman, Clayface can maintain his form in water and liquids. Why is this important? More on that later. By the way, I've been alluding to this. He's had training from Batman. Remember, at one point, Clayface was part of the Bat family. And as a result, he got training from Batman in how to not only fight, but how to use his powers even more effectively while fighting. And even before he got additional training from Batman, Clayface was already a great fighter and had his own unique fighting style. Now, a favorite tactic of Clayface is making himself slightly dispersed when an opponent punches him, and then making himself rock hard against all around him, trapping the opponent's arm. Look, we've seen this before. Look, at the end of the day, Clayface isn't just someone with powers. He's someone who will wrap himself around you when you punch him, pull you in, and absorb you completely. You're not going to be able to explode because you won't even be conscious. You're absorbed into his body. And then with the training he's gotten, the upgrades and fighting ability from Batman himself, who's like, great, here are your powers. Here's how you're going to fight even better with them. Wow, good luck with all of that, Sandman. All of that's my point number two.
I mean, wait a minute. So you're telling me all of a sudden that Clayface has nanobots inside of his system? Is this the line that you're trying to convince Judge Kevin Israel about right now? Oh, he has pieces of himself that come out, and then they're basically AI. What? That doesn't even make a lick of sense, James, and I know that you don't believe it as well. And Clayface has a burning touch against whatever he touches. What's he gonna burn? The sand? I've been to the beach, and the only thing that burned in the sand was me. What didn't burn the sand at all? The sand was perfectly fine where it was. So I don't even know how these attacks are supposed to go. And you argue that Clayface has had training from Batman. Probably not a whole lot of training. Let me go ahead and start there. But also, like, do you trust an actor to fight? I'll trust his stuntman well before I'll trust him as far as fighting ability goes. I don't know about you, James, but I've fought against actors before. It is not a problem.
I mean, Bruce Lee was an actor. Just putting that out there.
Bruce Lee was something else.
That's true. All right, we are at the turning point. Kevin, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
You know, in this battle of Pigpen versus Joe Dirt, it's really close. James, you piqued my interest with the assuming other people's identities. I don't know how that's going to help in this fight. It is interesting that he can do that. I think that's something that Clayface definitely has in his corner that Sandman doesn't as much. But again, in this one-on-one battle to the sand bones, I'm still torn. This is still really a toss-up at this point because they're just so friggin' similar. But James did make some interesting points that of what Clayface can do that Sandman can't. But again, I don't know that it's going to help in this specific battle.
Ooh, interesting stuff. You know what? You've just convinced me more than ever that you are the perfect judge for this matchup. They are so insanely similar. Let's see what we got. Stay tuned for our point number three. And we're back. It's all down to this. It's a dead even battle, but someone's got to win. Let's see if it's Ray. Let's see if it's me. Ray, hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for Sandman. Let's talk about his other sand powers that, of course, I have been sandbagging on up to this point, because he does more than just transformative stuff. This is a guy who can take it. He's basically transformative to the idea of transforming. Clayface tends to keep it to himself. He makes his body do a whole bunch of different stuff, but he's still generally Clayface at the end of the day. Sandman is much more creative with his powers. If you've ever played the game Fortnite or seen a video of anybody playing Fortnite and you see somebody get shot and then all of a sudden they just start spinning this whole building up around themselves and then you have no idea what's even going on because they built an entire castle around themselves, Sandman has done that before. Sandman has turned his body into a gigantic castle or a building made of sand. And not only that, he's filled it with people that are also made of sand. So you wouldn't even know that you didn't just walk into a resort hotel that was just completely made of surprise sand. And you were just walking in and on Sandman himself. And he was controlling every aspect of it. But that is a thing he could do. If Clayface somehow hits him real hard, all of a sudden, he's going to Fortnite up this entire building around himself. Clayface won't be able to find him. Clayface, without prior knowledge, won't even understand that the entire thing is Sandman. Exciting. He's once blinded somebody by blowing sand at them. I just thought that was kind of an exciting thing. A really basic schoolyard thing to do. Sandman's done that too. He can turn to dust if he needs to. And he can fly through air vents. and get through it and get through very, very small areas. So if he ever felt threatened, he's a surprise attack kind of a guy when he wants to. He's the kind of guy who you hit, he turns to dust, he disappears, he becomes dust on the floor like the T-1000 did one time, if you remember. And then he'll all of a sudden hit you with a powerful force that you were not ready for from behind. He hits with a surprise attack that is so fast that Spider-Man's spidey senses didn't pick up on it. Do you know how fast and how surprising you need to be for spidey senses to not work at all? There's no other trick. He's just that good at surprise attacks. One other fun move that he did is he has the ability to engulf opponents in himself and suffocate them. He's done this to The Thing before, another rock-based character who also needs to breathe, Clayface. And he also did this to Luke Cage, a very, very strong and powerful guy whose skin, you know, can't be pierced, etc. He's able to take these big, monstrous, overpowered characters, completely envelop them in sand, take away their air supply, and take them out that way. I think that could very much work against Clayface as well. He's also got the ability, much like James said about Clayface, he can attach himself to anything. So he once was found on the underside of a bridge, and he was just sitting there waiting to strike. So you're talking about a guy who could be literally anywhere, could be anything, like he's in the video game Prey, pretending to be a coffee cup, and then you walk by him, and he hits you with a surprise jackhammer to the back of the head. That's who Clayface is. Not just that, he has phasing powers as well, like Vision, where he can make himself generally immaterial and then reform how and where and when he wants to. This allows him to not being able to be held in handcuffs. I don't know why I put that in my point number three, but it's there and I'm going to go ahead and say it. He often likes to let punches and people go right through him. So if Clayface tries to do a dive attack, a punch, all this great Batman training, all Sandman has to do is just phase out, go immaterial, let Clayface stumble around for a second, and then put Clayface in a disadvantageous position. Not just that, much like James said with Clayface, Sandman can make doubles, triples, more so of himself. That seems kind of minor at this point when you know that he can create a building populated with people and attack you with all of them. But yes, he could also clone himself. James said it, I figured I would give the example as well. At the end of the day, it's the surprise attacks, it's the degree of violence he can bring in different ways, and it's the fact that he can just do so much more with his powers than Clayface can that makes him the winner today, and that's my point number three.
Let me push back on a few things, but before I do that, you know, Kevin, to mention your point, what would Clayface do with his ability to kind of turn into someone else and mimic someone else? Well, Clayface would easily turn into the Sandman, literally look like him, sound like him, because that's what he's done before, and he can do it pretty much instantly. That's going to cause some, as, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine would say, confusion and delay. Now, let me get to what Ray just said and rebut a few things. Transforming into a building, Clayface can kind of do that as well. And by the way, if he did transform a building around Clayface, Clayface is going to touch it, know exactly what's up, and start absorbing the Sandman. You got to love Clayface. Going through air vents, disappearing and hitting with a surprise attack from a different direction, all things that Clayface has done many, many times to Batman, no less. And he's caught Wonder Woman by surprise as well. Absorbing Clayface into himself, you know, the Sandman does that. Really bad call. Again, he absorbs sand. That's one of his specialties. He absorbs sand, and that sand turns into the clay. Really crazy thing. And Clayface can also make himself less dense, pass through things. I mean, this is just a really cool thing that a lot of these characters have in common, or both these characters have in common. But let me get to my point number three. And for my point number three, let's talk about Clayface's big wins, another superpower, and kind of the key to this whole battle. So Clayface has a long history in DC Comics. I mentioned that before. As a result, he's gotten some huge wins over insane opponents. I'm just going to go to the bigger wins because he's got a lot of wins over smaller opponents as well that don't really matter for this fight. For example, he's beaten Batman a number of times, and that's a Batman who's had 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks of prep time to take on Clayface from previous encounters, and Clayface has still beaten Batman with all of his prep. That's pretty insane. He's beaten the entire Bat family, as in all of them, all at the same time. He completely beat Poison Ivy, which is impressive because you'd think that Poison Ivy could have used her control over plants and vegetation to grow, I don't know, powerful vines or something to free her from Clayface's, you know, clay. But as she told Batman, Clayface's powers prevented her from using her abilities. In other words, Clayface was able to shut down Poison Ivy's powers over all the vegetation because she started to absorb her. That's a cool thing. He can do that to Sandman as well. Look, he's also beaten Wonder Woman, as in completely beat her and then absorbed her powers by absorbing her. Remember, when Wonder Woman was made from supernatural magical clay from the gods, and that magical clay from Zeus himself didn't prevent Clayface from overtaking Wonder Woman, pulling her, literally grabbing onto her, extending his arms, pulling her, and then pulling her into himself, and then absorbing her and her supernatural godlike clay. Look, if you have a clean win over Wonder Woman and can absorb her powers, you are officially a heavy hitter within the DC universe. You can do that to Sandman too. He's beaten all the other people who took on the mantle of Clayface and had similar powers to Clayface, because there were a few over the years. And how did he beat them? I don't know. He took them on in battle, and then he absorbed all of them and took their powers too. So now he's the strongest he's ever been at this point. And that's on top of all of this cool Batman training he's got, because at one point, you know, more on this in a little bit. Look, at this point, he has the power also of geokinesis. I've been saving this to the end. And this is the ability to manipulate the movement of minerals in the earth using supposed psychic powers. And why is this a problem for Sandman? Because sand of the Sandman is primarily composed of tiny mineral particles. Yeah, I said it. Which means Clayface can now control the millions and millions of particles of sand that make up Sandman. Oh, but there's so much more. See, Sandman's other weakness that Clayface doesn't have is his weakness to water. He can't stay together, so to speak, if he gets hit by water or is immersed in it. And you may be asking yourself, how does that even matter if they aren't near water in this battle? Because why would they be? And didn't Clayface also have the similar weakness? Well, Clayface has been powered up over the years and no longer is affected by water that way at all. And I would agree, you know, how is this going to be a factor in the battle? But here's the thing. Unlike Sandman, Clayface can actually turn himself into a liquid form and still keep control over his all of his molecules and inside places, you know, the same way he would if he was not liquid or watery, what have you. So when you add this up, Sandman has no defense and is insanely weak to the following things that Clayface can do. He can literally absorb the Sandman into his body and control the Sandman's particles. All he has to do is touch the Sandman or be touched by him, and he's got it, thanks to the geokinesis and his other ability to absorb him. Clayface can use, again, that geokinesis to control the Sandman down to the individual grain of sands he's made of from a distance and just shut him down or say, oh, come on over here, and Sandman can't fight. And finally, Clayface can turn himself into liquid form and engulf the Sandman, rendering him completely useless and powerless. Sandman is great at what he does, but Clayface is just on another level. All of that is my point number three.
Wow, James, the way you say it, Clayface has never lost a fight, and Clayface is never getting himself in trouble. And Clayface obviously runs the entire DC universe, except none of those things are true, and I'll tell you why. First off, the other identities aspect of it. Yes, Clayface could become other people, but no, without prior knowledge, who is Clayface going to become that Sandman would even be familiar with? They're in two different universes. You say he's going to become Sandman, and then Sandman's going to be freaked out by that? Look, if he tries to become Sandman and use Sandman powers, and we have a Sandman versus Sandman battle, I'll take the Sandman who actually knows how to use those powers and has been doing it for 60 years. I'll go ahead and take that guy in the battle as opposed to the Mimic who needs to figure it out as he goes. I know who knows that power set better. And there are many different weaknesses that Clayface has. I'm glad you mentioned it, James. He does have a vulnerability to water, as does Sandman as well. Quite honestly, water is not an area where either of these two characters is going to want to be. I do not see it coming into play that either one of these two is going to want to go near the water, because they both in their histories have had trouble with the water. There are other weaknesses to Clayface as well, though. That's electricity, that's very, very cold weather, and that's explosions from the inside, as I mentioned before. This is how the Bat family just keeps putting him down with tasers over and over and over again. So I would argue that because of the creativity of Sandman and the fact that there's Clayface is so easily beaten by so many environmental ways to go, not to mention the inside explosion, which of course is great too. I would argue that this battle is going to get to a point where the creativity of Sandman is going to keep putting Clayface in weirder and weirder predicaments. And eventually he's going to get locked in a freezer. He's going to get zapped by electricity. Eventually he's going to maneuver him into an area with his strange way of fighting, and Clayface is just not going to have an answer for it. This absorption trick, this poison trick, None of these tricks are going to work against Sandman. It's just a bad matchup for that, as far as I'm concerned.
Interesting stuff that I can easily disagree with, but I won't, because I trust the judge, Kevin Israel, to do what he's going to do. Look, Kevin, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Kevin has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a very special... an active member of social media getting his day in the sun. Of course, we're talking about Cam Sully. He references himself here as Cam Sully, and in parentheses, Ray needs a lobotomy, exclamation point. So we'll see how this goes for him.
Wow, Cam Sully is like royalty for the Who Would Win show. And when you have someone who's royalty and they need a royal type of opponent, especially after the week I had in talking about why Star Wars needs this character back in a big way, more on that later, I'm going to have Cam Sully go up against the one, the only, Luke Skywalker.
Oh, I was really thinking you thought Emperor Palpatine needed a front row seat again. And I was like, James, episode 9, he was right there. What are you talking about? Anyway, Cam Sully goes up against Luke Skywalker. Now, thankfully for Cam Sully, this is late Last Jedi Luke Skywalker and not early Luke Skywalker as seen in The Mandalorian as end of season 2. Spoiler alert for a show you should have absolutely seen by now. Honestly, if that's a spoiler to you, you deserve it. You're not really a Star Wars fan. In fact, I don't even want to talk about this battle anymore. I want to get mad at you for getting angry about me spoiling the end of Mandalorian Season 2, which aired a few years ago. If you're actually a Star Wars fan and you're not watching The Mandalorian, and I'm able to even do that to you, stop it. Stop right now. You're only mad at yourself. You're not mad at me. Take the time. You deserve it. Take a PTO day and watch The Mandalorian Season 2, since you obviously haven't already. You haven't even watched Season 1. Then why are you even mad that I'm spoiling it? Anyway, the point I'm trying to say is Cam Sully wins this match. You too could be a patron of the week. Go on patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and stop getting mad about spoilers. Just watch the thing already.
Let me take over, Ray. So they face off. Luke Skywalker takes out a lightsaber that he stole from Rey because she's off doing whatever she's doing. By the way, I do like Rey Skywalker as a character. And as he's about to get this battle down, Cam Sully says, wait, before we do this, it's customary if we have a drink together. Let's share a drink. You get your favorite, I'll get mine. Cam pulls out this excellent brandy from some planet. I think it's from the lower parts of Jabba the Hutt's, you know, palace in Tatooine. And of course, Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi pulls out a glass of, what was it, blue, horrible milk from that cow-like creature, and they clash glasses, l'chaim, and as they start downing it, Luke Skywalker starts choking, and Cam uses the Force to kind of help him choke some more, because that's not Luke Skywalker, that's Jake Skywalker. I'm just bitter about what they did to Luke Skywalker. Congratulations, Cam Sully. You too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you gotta do is sign up and become a member, and you too can be mentioned on the show and put in a battle. All right, now, let's get back to what Kevin has to say. Kevin... Sorry, I just hate what they did to him. Kevin, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Clayface and the Sandman.
I just want to know more about Jake Skywalker, actually. Anywho, look, I'm trying to think outside the sandbox here, and it's a challenging one. I see these two shape-shifting villains going head-to-head. There's going to be a lot of body part throwing. There's going to be fist hammers and blades and all sorts of just body shaped weaponry going at each other. They're going to exhausted of that. Then they're just going to try to go to the absorption route that both of you have thrown about, which brings up all sorts of questions that we can't get into in this type of show, but they're going to be absorbing each other. They're going to be inside out. It's going to be a mess of dirt and mud and clay. They're going to be going back and forth. And then finally, when they're both down on the ground, exhausted with nothing else to give, they're going to look at each other, shake hands, and go start their own tag team called the Filthy Friends. And they're going to become the tag team champions of the world of the WWE. I have to call this one a draw.
So I like where you're going with this. Unfortunately, we can't have a draw for the show. I know. I wish we could. The Who Would Win production team has made it very clear that they will horribly torture any judge that does it. But surely there's one rep by, I don't know, let's say a good-looking, muscular debater who
James, you don't need to talk me up any harder than that.
Or someone who should be a muscular debater and could be a muscular debater if you put the time in. Surely you've got someone in mind, a character in mind. One of these two combatants has got to win. Kevin Israel, declare a winner.
I will declare a winner based off of one of the earliest facts one of you fine debaters had said, in that one of these gentlemen can exist as a pure single speck of sand. I think the one grain of sand is essential here, because as the two continue just to throw their body parts at each other and they absorb each other and they're just going to be tearing each other down, you know, at a particulate level, that at some point they're going to be so small and minuscule. But knowing that the Sandman can survive at that level of smallness, of microscopicness, I think really makes the difference in this fight. So I have to call it for the Sandman.
You know what? There you have it. I got to tell you, I completely, yet again, disagree with the judge. I showed clearly how Sandman has very, very big weaknesses to stuff that Clayface can do directly to him. The water issue, the liquid issue, the geokinesis, good luck, you know, the way he absorbs stuff, the corrosive touch, and yet none of that was answered by Reis de Caunes, and you picked the one thing that's not going to matter in this fight at all, because again, Clayface can overcome all that. I completely disagree, but again, it's Kevin Israel, so I gotta respect the decision because he's awesome. Reis de Caunes, I'm gonna say this begrudgingly, congratulations yet again. Tell the Legion of Audience how you feel.
What is this, 17, 18 battles that I've won in a row at this point? I cannot be stopped in season 6. I won season 5. I won other seasons before that. None of it matters, because only thing that matters is today. And today we took two characters who have nearly an identical power set, and I proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, of not just that Sandman is better, that I'm the greatest to have ever done this. I am one of the greatest humans of all time. If I could turn into sand, I wouldn't, because it would lessen how great I am at my core. Thank you, Kevin Israel. Thank you for listening when I was talking, even during the tale of the tape. That's impressive judging. The problem for you, James, is we keep getting good judges on the show, and they keep listening to me, and I keep stomping you into oblivion. I think if Kevin was to elaborate his point even further, he would say that obviously the rift and gulf between these two characters, based on the way they were debated today, is monumental. Ray did such a great job. No one, I know he was pretending that it was so close it could have been a draw at one point. He was doing that for the sake of your feelings. Happy Easter.
You know, last week with our judge Al Mega, who again took the wrong decision. I love Al Mega, by the way. He also made the wrong decision in Doomsday versus X-Men 97, caused an uproar online, on the socials, whether it was Instagram, X/Twitter, or Facebook. People really let us know how much they disagreed with that decision. All I'm going to say is, Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, feel free to do the same thing. Let Kevin Israel know how much you disagree with the decision, because trust me, I will. At the same time, make sure you watch and consume any content. Go to his shows, because just make sure that you are a fan, an active fan, an active fanatic fan of Kevin Israel, and all will be forgiven. All right, Kevin, listen, again, I don't know if I said this. I disagree with what you just did and your judgment whatsoever.
I got that. I sort of felt the disagreement.
I just didn't know if I communicated that clearly.
It was subtle, but
yeah.
Subtle.
Yeah, my therapist said that I should be more direct. Anyway, the thing is, I disagree with your decision, but I got to respect your process, because you did weigh everything. You were listening really intently. And man, you are insanely smart and funny, by the way. Please come back on the show and make a better decision. Until then, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You find me at kevinisrael.com for all my comedy dates and my album, The Struggle is Real. And also, if you're in the tri-state area and you want to see something amazing, check out the Battleship New Jersey at battleshipnewjersey.org.
Very cool. All right, Reis de Caunes, congratulations on another win. You are doing great, but I have a funny feeling the tides will turn. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
The people at home can't see this, but Kevin Israel on the wall behind him has two oars hanging on the wall. And that makes sense, because James has been going up the creek without a paddle for this entire battle. He's out there flailing in the dark like he's Clayface with sand in his eyes. What I love about this battle is that we took two very, very similar, very, very equal characters, and I dominated once again. The problem is maybe I'm just too good. Maybe I've transcended the who would win show at this point. Maybe we need to expand the universe, and maybe we just need to find some like Harvard debate students. Maybe we need to find some lawyers, some politicians, you know, Supreme Court justices, and get them on the show to oppose me. Because quite honestly, James Gavsey in season 6 is no challenge anymore. I don't need to even, you know what? Next week, I'm just going to wing it. I'm not going to do the hours and hours and hours of preparation that I do. I'm just going to walk in the door, find out who my character is like it was an episode of Thunderdome, and I'm going to develop 3 points on the fly. I will not do any of those things. I care too much about the integrity of myself. The point through all of this is you can find me on Threads at Almighty Ray 316. Let's celebrate yet another victory Friday. At this point, I can't lose, nor should I, quite honestly.
Well, I just got a text. I am the new spokesperson. Wow, for Disney Plus. Thank you very much. They want to talk to me about starring, you know, and hosting another show for that platform. Let me just see if Ray Stakanis is invited. Ray, I'm bringing you along. I have a position for you. I am not going to move my career ahead unless you are somehow involved and benefiting from all the good work we're doing. I'll hire you as a PA. You can be my chair. Whatever you want to do, Ray. I'm saying there's a place for you wherever I go. I didn't listen to anything you just said, by the way, but congratulations on the win. You can also find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. Now over 50,000 members. I don't know what the heck happened. It just kind of blew up. And please keep going. Remember, you can join the Facebook group to make a suggestion for the matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Stakanis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.